It's 81.
All right, Made in Trafford podcast episode 81. The road to 100 continues. 100. Thank you for rocking with us. We've got a good episode lined up for you guys. So I'm just going to jump straight into it. Mandem, tell the people who you are.
Paul Sanusi, Big 2L in the building. LL Coolins, as E-Man used to say back in the day. We're here in the flesh. That.
That's a fact.
We're here in the flesh, baby. Well, not in the flesh, but you know what I mean.
Soon come.
Yeah, it's E, man. It's happening.
School family. Love that. Protection there.
Those who know what that means, shout out to you, but yeah.
Love that. All right, and I'm Two Dems. Another episode. Let's just get straight into it. So, a bit of a somber note, I guess, to start on, but I think it's the best place to start as well. You have to give credit to the OGs and the legends who really built this. DMX, I'm sure we've all heard, isn't doing well. I guess I just wanted to use this as an opportunity to like big up his legacy and how important he is to the scene. And obviously, it's painful to see because he's an OG that's had issues for a long time, and he's really been battling them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's one of those weird ones. Do you guys feel like there's certain legends that were around before us that we didn't actually realize how legendary they were?
Yeah,
like, I feel like X is in that category because we heard like X Gon' Give It To You when it came out, essentially when we were young, and then we had heard of Rough Riders, we had heard of certain songs, but we didn't know, I personally didn't know he was like one of the guys back then, if that makes sense. So seeing how people are reacting, like, it makes me realize again, obviously now I know, but it makes me realize again how big of a legacy, you know, he has. So it is very, very sad, man.
His work rate as well at that time was insane. I think he was the first artist to ever have 2 number one albums in the same year. There's that very, very popular video of him at Woodstock, and it looks like he sold out the whole world. My guy, if Thanos had been there and he'd done the snapping in, it would have been insane.
He had the Yacubians going crazy.
For real, dog. Yeah. Just so legendary. Like, he's one of the funniest people, unintentionally funny as well. Like, you know that video from The Breakfast Club where he sings Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Every time, you know, when I see that on the TR, I'm like, all right, it's Christmas time, you know? But he's just done so much that's unintentionally funny, and he's just a great person as well. It's so painful to see because I saw a video online about how he, you know, the thing that's dictated his life, and he's had a real battle with his crack and how he got onto it. Like, so he was chilling with someone and they gave him a blunt, and the blunt was laced with crack, and he's more or less been hooked ever since then. But it's just so painful to see that he's not been able to defeat that. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't. We know how that story goes, but it just, yeah, it's one of those things that breaks your heart.
One thing that makes me the most concerned is like he has kind of relapsed a few times. So I think he was actually on the recovery. He had a relapse last year where he checked himself into rehab, I believe. I think when he came out, the first few reports said that he was looking to like do shows, do dates, do live appearances, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously he's capable of doing it. He's in the right mental space. But I think sometimes maybe we don't give, you know, people the ability to take the time to recover. Maybe he might have rushed that process. So, I mean, even seeing it, it's just like, okay, you're happy for him, but you're also like, should you really be actually going out there doing those things if you're not 100% there? And unfortunately, the situation has happened. And I think have you guys seen it? There's been loads of like conflicting reports about his actual mental state.
Yeah, state. So they said he was on life support. Now they're saying, then I saw apparently he wasn't and he was grooving on his own. But that has since changed and they're still saying it's not looking good. He is still on life support. You just have to hope and pray, you know, that he gets through this. Basically, there's not a lot else. That's all we can do at this moment in time. And the conflicting reports won't help for people who like are diehard fans of his as well.
Yeah, it happens. It happened with Wayne. Do you remember? It was maybe 6-7 years ago. It was like a report that Wayne overdosed, and then TMZ came out and said like he died, and everyone was like, "Yo, what the fuck?" Or it was in like intensive care. And everyone was like, "What the hell?" And like that wasn't hours later, he was fine. So it's hard to know because typically they actually spot on TMZ. They actually usually get 99% correct. So it is a bit of a
That's a weird one. You know, that's actually a crazy world we live in, that CMD gets it as correct as they be getting it.
Yeah.
I think it's for them, is when they broke Kobe and everyone was like, wow, this they're really getting the legit news.
Yeah, it's almost them ones where you don't even want to, believe it, bruv, when you read
it. But this one, I mean, you just have to hope and pray it gets fit. But, you know, if the worst case scenario happened, you would just have to, it'd be a real loss for the genre and for the people, because that's a legend. And it sucks that when we only give people their flowers when they're in this position. Like, I don't think we've had a real in-depth conversation about DMX before this, but it's one of those ones, isn't it? Mm.
It's not just for the genre. It's just for the whole world. Like there's a lot of people in different cultures. I know of a few Italians, I know some Lithuanians, Romanians, even Polish people. Like, they don't know they don't know YG, they don't know any of the new rappers today. Some of them, they don't even listen to that stuff. But DMX is what broke hip-hop into their culture. Do you understand? Mm. So, they must have been listening to, like, punk rock, heavy metal, like that mad noise where them breaking raves. Do you get what I'm saying? Them illegal raves, like them sort of sounds. The next thing they hear is DMX. They're like, oh, what's this? And then even like when I listen to some Polish music, I'm not really on heavy on Polish music. When I listen to it, I definitely see the influence on what some DMX would have had, you know. So
that actually makes sense, because his style is very like, it is I'm gonna say quite aggressive, if that makes sense. You know, it's really up tempo. You look at his biggest tracks, they all are quite like up tempo, hard hitting, especially like X Gonna Give It To You is a very hard hitting track, you know.
I don't think there was any other artist who sounded like him except for Tupac, and even like Snoop Dogg, he even said that if there's anybody who's living today who resembles Tupac in a heavy way, it's DMX. Mm. Because they're both gangsters. I think, of course, they had different lives, but DMX is definitely somebody who's a legend as well. But I think people always get mixed up with this top 10, top five, whatever. But people should know there was a time where Jay-Z and DMX were doing battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody knew who won. They just said, yeah, both of them were good. And there's always conflicting sides. Yeah, Jay won, not DMX won. So there's always conflicting sides. But at the end of the day, like, DMX is...
Yeah, at his prime, DMX probably was the person that was going toe-to-toe with Jay the most, really. Especially because DMX, you know, could do it on the mic, but he could also do it commercially. So he was the only one that I think... was able to rise to the challenge that was Jay-Z, especially in Jay-Z in his prime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, praise up to DMX, man.
Side note, yo, that Jay-Z voice note thing on Twitter, Iman, I don't know if you've seen it. I'll send it to you after this, but yo, that'd be having me. Oh, yeah. Oh, he sings SpongeBob. That should be having me in tears. The latest one he did about about chicken. And I was like, I had to tell Tata. Yo, if you want to lift your mood, I don't know what it's called, but it's not hard to find. It's just Jay. Someone's clearly pretending to be Jay-Z, and is putting voice notes onto it. And that shit is the funniest shit ever, man.
You know, Jay-Z will find him, you know, because he's working with Jack now, and he owns Twitter. So you know he can find him. Like,
but if that was you, what, how do you feel?
Do you know there's an artist that sounds like Jay-Z?
I've heard about this.
He's actually pretty good as well, but he just, I mean, because you know there's Jay-Z and then you know there's him as well, but he sounds like very much alike, and he's like, nah, I'm not Jay-Z. I just sound like him, but I'm not Jay-Z.
That Jay-Z page is hilarious, honestly. It's one of the funniest things I've seen, maybe ever. That Chicken Run one that came out the other day had me in stitches, man. It's just the emphasis on the words that he puts. I don't want to be a pie.
So dumb.
It's dumb, but we love it. All right, so second topic for today, Iman.
Hold on. Demi, what is that in your topic?
It's Kenzo. Kenzo?
Yeah. Man, like, look at him shining, drippy, drippy. Look at him.
Money long.
Of course. 95 drip, I see that.
Come on, I have to represent the only 95 baby in the group.
You damn right.
1-6 of my name, like Kenzo, you know. Okay.
Come on. All right, second topic. Let me get this off. Justice League. What are we saying? Man, did you get the chance?
I downloaded it.
fair enough.
I torrent that stuff because it's like, I can't find it. I know that link that you gave me was bugging, so yeah. No, yeah. The link that you gave me was bugging, but I tore it.
I'll try to send you a different one because that link.
I've got the whole film.
Ah, fair enough. If you got it totally, then that's fine. But yeah, no. Yeah.
Spoiler free review.
It was good,
go ahead because I already know how the film ends.
I mean, like, it's not even. Yeah, exactly. It's the same movie. Well, it's not the same movie, but it's the same. It begins and ends the same, if that makes any type of sense.
For the people who don't understand, it's like the original Christian Bible, yeah? Like the King James Version Bible. And then all these other versions. Those other versions are the... What's his name? Actually, don't mention his name. The King James Version is like Zack Snyder's version. And then the other versions are them dead versions, yeah? Just to let
you know. It's a vast improvement. I don't know if it's because he's got the 4 hours that it's that much better, but it's night and day, really. I think it's so much better, and it was a really enjoyable experience. Like, I personally didn't feel like it felt like 4 hours. I watched it in one sitting, and I really enjoyed what I saw. Zack Snyder can be proud of himself. I think there's some amazing moments in it that will stick with me for sure. I think that scene at the end where Flash has to run as fast as he can, I think that will go down as a great comic book movie moment. There's a lot that stands out, man. It's just a shame that, you know, Warner Brothers didn't let him get off his original ideas anyway. I can see why they didn't, you know. Man of Steel wasn't the hit that I think they wanted. And the less said about BVS, the better. And he's created this universe, which is subpar. I don't think anyone would feel...
I don't think people understand the universe, you know? Like, the universe is...
Yeah, that's a fact.
The characters that are used in this particular... Like, this universe currently at the moment. Forget about the multiverse. Robert Pattinson. In the other film, like, of course, that's been now it's been headlined as a parallel universe, but like some of the characters, for example, you go into Watchmen, right? All the original actors of Watchmen are in Aquaman, are in Batman versus Superman, are in Man of Steel. So the fact that they're just taking all these actors from here, moving them there, like. There is an important story. Do you get what I'm saying? And like, people don't realize this. Like, people do.
Would you like to see the story continue?
To be honest, yes, I would like to see the story continue. But then, when there are a bunch of films that basically create a story for another film, so Justice League. If Zack Snyder had his wishes to do the 4-hour film, then Aquaman would have been a whole completely different vibe.
That's an interesting point.
Rather than that, I mean, it was cool, but it's like, man got henched to be funny. Do you get what I'm saying?
I hear that. Yeah, I hear
so that. He got henched to be funny. And then on this, I haven't really seen the actual film itself, but from actual reviews and so on and so forth, was Jason Momoa, was he funny in any way, shape or form in this film?
Not as
more,
much.
It's a more grounded performance. Even Ezra Miller, the Flash, who was supposed to be the jokey guy in the is the jokey guy in the theatrical cut, which came out in 2017, that's less gone. It's more or less gone, but the character is more grounded, which I really enjoyed because the Flash I found annoying in the theatrical cut. But here, his personality makes sense. The reason he is the way he is makes more sense. I think a lot of the ideas that were there have been given time to breathe.
Ray Fisher needs to beat up Josh Whedon. That's what I have to say. He needs to find where he lives and he needs to punch him up because he is the key cog of this movie. And the movie made so much more sense with his backstory. Without it, and what we saw, 2 years ago when it came out, 3 years ago when it came out, I don't know what Josh Whedon was thinking. I really don't.
That was odd. That would be one of the most oddest decisions I've ever seen in movie history because that didn't make no sense, man.
But the thing is, it's not to say that Josh Whedon is a bad director. I mean, maybe with Ray Fisher's beef with Josh Whedon, maybe. But I'm talking about like as a whole. I don't think he's a bad director. It's just that he came to fix something when the whole painting is done. Like the whole film is already done. And then to take bits off of it and then recut it and then remake it so that these guys are happy. Not even that the fact that you are happy as a director, but Warner Bros. Are happy. So it's, you know, I can understand why a lot of people may be angry at Joss Whedon, but you have to take into consideration that it's not solely his fault.
Yeah.
But then again...
I think that cyborg thing is his fault. He's made some issues, not issues, he's made some decisions in that theatrical cut that just, to me, they don't make sense.
At all. I think you're really going to like this movie, man. When I was watching it, there were certain aspects of it where I was like, okay, no, they've fleshed this out. And it's if anything, I'm actually quite sad now that they're not going to take it further. Because I think
I want to see this world continue.
I think it has legs.
I think Zack Snyder the biggest issue with everything that's going on with the DC characters is they don't have a Kevin Feige to like be there and be like, yo, this is a bad idea, scrap that, we'll go with that. Someone to just be like, yo, these are the ideas that I think are good and this is what we're going to use to build a universe off of. Because there is promise in the Snyderverse. I just think there needs to be more direction going forward. That they can't afford to keep having these mistakes. Because now you're retconning things, and does that matter? Does the Aquaman film mean anything? Does Wonder Woman's films mean anything now going forward? Because you're still going to do Wonder Woman movies, but you're saying you're not continuing the Snyderverse. And then obviously there's another Batman coming out. It's a mess.
How was the second film again? Wonder Woman?
It was Tupac of ass.
That was terrible, man.
It was a Tupac of ass, man.
Is that CGI?
They could resurrect it.
They're going to make another one. They will make another one. But it's a Tupac of ass.
She deserves... The character's good. Gal Gadot is great in the role. So I would be down to see another Wonder Woman film, and I think her first film is good. I think that Aquaman film has good parts. As dumb as it is, it has good parts. So elements of the Snyderverse work, and I don't know if you man have ever seen it. Complete Shazam. Shazam is actually a good film, and it's
that's
in
a good
Snyderverse.
Film. That's a good film.
So
yeah, and
there's
and,
things here I want to see.
Black Adam. Is it Black Adam?
Oh, Black
that's Hat- coming out yeah. next year.
Yeah. So. And then what is it? What's that damn film? Suicide Squad. The man can keep that. When they said they're not releasing an AR cut, I was like, yeah, you can hold that.
I have no I have no stock in anything to do Suicide Squad after that.
Honestly,
the James Gunn one might be good.
I think I think from what I heard about Suicide Squad, the first one, they were going in depth into each individual character, like properly. Like, and I think some of the characters would have been explored in a way that a lot of people would have just thought, let's just cancel the film anyway. But in a way where people can be invested in a story. Character-wise, maybe not, but invested in a story, they probably would have loved it a lot more. That's probably, that's most likely why Will Smith is not there and Idris Elba is here. But
Homegirl's belly dancing, I don't want to hear it, man. It's done. There's a film I don't need a director's cut for. It's Suicide Squad. From when Cara Delevingne was belly dancing. Homegirl, I've not seen her in a film since.
She's not an actor. Do you know
those two characters? Are they, like, what's her name again? Cara Delevingne.
Yeah.
Her name is Incubus and the brother's name is Succubus. There are some Christians who know what those two names are. Yeah. But for those people who don't know, basically those two names are demons that are, they're like sex dream demons. They come and have sex. So when I heard that in the film, I was like, bro, turn this off, man. I was like, turn it off.
Oh, man. That film was one of my worst cinema experiences ever.
Yeah, it was terrible. I will say, one of the things I was still a bit disappointed in Justice League was Batman. I feel like he's so washed, bro. And after every, literally the beef will pop off, and then 5 minutes later he'll just turn up and he'll just be like, good job guys, let's go into the next motive. He's the man in the project that is the one who shows up right at the end, like, yeah, fam, I put this together, I did this, but did no work, fam. He was
just in the Batmobile doing that, if I pull up in that. Just to get back to Batman was dumb, man.
Yeah, he wasn't holding it down.
He couldn't hang at all with them.
And it's weird because he was on smoke on BVS. So in this, I was watching him just laughing to myself. I'm like, nah, you look washed, bro.
Yeah, it's strange. It's
anyway,
strange. That's why. Oh, yeah, even another thing as well that really annoyed me was the fact that I saw Batman versus Superman. I saw Steppenwolf and his ugly face. Yeah. Then I see this Justice League and he's looking a bit handsome. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. When did he get a makeover? And then now that the Zack Snyder cut comes out, it's like, now the image makes sense of Steppenwolf. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. Like, things like that really annoyed me. It was just like, no, you can't tell me that I didn't see what I saw. Like, I saw Steppenwolf and his ugly face. And then now he's more humanoid. Like, he's more humanoid. Like, he's looking more like a human face.
I guess, but that sometimes happens. Like, the Thanos we see in Infinity War and Endgame isn't the same as the one that we saw at the end of Avengers. Like, they gave that boy a makeover. And you know what? That Steppenwolf was disgustingly horny in the theatrical cut. I saw this. He was after them. He was after that mother box. It was not good. If you watch a side by side of him trying to get the mother box in the theatrical cut and in the Zack Snyder cut, it's, yeah, he was chasing them things down.
Okay, cool.
Nah, it's definitely worth watching. I have to watch it in two bits, but it was a good watch. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. That's not to give yourself a pat on the back.
That's a fact.
I it's got a new film coming, isn't it? It's coming on Netflix, actually. With Omari Hardwick. Ghost.
Okay, that should be good.
Yeah.
I like Ghost. I will say before we move on, I'm never gonna like that Jared Leto Joker, man.
Bro, that scene pissed me off, man.
It's just not good.
I was just like, get off my screen. Like, it was getting on my nerves.
Because he was chatting white and he's doing up too much. Like, that Joker doesn't have his own identity. I feel like it's a bit of Heath Ledger's and it's a bit of the one from the Joker. It's just not him.
Yeah, that scene did nothing for me. Man was laughing like he had asthma, bruv. And I'd know that I have asthma, bro. Just bare yeah. gas, no laughter. I was like, what is this, bro?
It was not good.
I wasn't a fan of that.
All right. So what's the third topic, if you can remind me?
It is... I got a feeling...
You said
COVID passport.
Oh, yes, COVID passports. So, yeah, they're saying that COVID passports looks like they're going to come in. What are you man saying?
Listen, it's a man.
Sticky one still.
Listen, man. I actually don't know how I feel about this, but I'm not surprised because, you know, there's always something with this country. There's always something.
Mm.
We did so shit at the beginning of COVID to be prepared. We were the shittest in the world. Now we are the best in the world at getting everybody the vaccines. And it's like everything's hunky-dory. Everything's fine. The sun is shining. And then out of nowhere, Boris is like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to need a passport, my guy.
Oh, God.
There's always a catch, man. There's always a flipping catch, bro.
Listen, let me tell you something for real. Yeah. Did you know that there's 50-51 There are some people who are going to find a way to finesse the system to get a fake COVID passport just to not to take the fucking vaccine. And people will find ways.
Yeah, run me down.
What I'm saying is that, bro, listen, you can't tell me, yeah, that this vaccine will do wonders, will get rid of COVID, yeah? Because from the science that they are saying, not me, the government, yeah? What I'm stating is the government. I'm no conspiracy theory, no nothing. I'm stating what the government is saying.
Yeah.
They are saying, if you get the jab, you can still catch COVID. You may have less of an effect if you actually get it, but you can still catch COVID, which means what? You are still an individual who's able to spread it. So, and the worst thing about it is that you're saying that there are variants. Yeah, that means this COVID-19 finds a way to adapt and evolve. So if you get the vaccine, right, wouldn't it become a lot more stronger? Now, people who put COVID-19, according to the Google statistics, I think, if you just double check right now, because if I come off this, it's going to be a bit of a mad thing, right? But as far as I remember,
Yo, Iman.
Yeah?
Your mic is getting muffled as you speak. If you pull it out, it should be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much better now.
Yeah, so basically, as I was saying, I think it's at like 2%, the COVID deaths. If you just double check, I don't want to state no figures out there. Have you got the figures?
Why would I? No, I didn't have the figures. But girl, I get your point.
I just to check.
I'm just going to check. What do you want me to double check?
All right, double check the figures for COVID-19. How many people have actually contracted COVID-19 and how many people have died from COVID-19?
In the UK, yeah?
Overall in the world.
Okay.
Bear with us, guys. Bear with us.
Please. All right, so 131 million and 2.84 deaths.
So, statistically, without the vaccines, 2% of people have died. Of course, that's a very tragic number. Rest in peace to all those individuals, and my condolences go out to all of them. But without the vaccine, it's
2.8.
Now, that's 99 million, close enough to 100 million people who have caught it, and some will have recovered. So, if we have built up immunity, why do we need a vaccine? More importantly, why do we need a vaccine passport? Like, what is the issue?
Yeah, now,
why do we need a vaccine passport?
I guess the reason they'll say is because their reasoning will be that it's to help businesses get back. So to make people feel more safe in those certain spaces. It's obviously the typical places which they're going to ask you to have the passport for. So places like cinemas, clubs, bar, like I'm sure some restaurants will try and enforce it X, Y, and Z. So their reason will be to help businesses get back safely. I hear what you're saying, but that's what they're going to say.
And then more importantly, even I think there was one or two politicians who came out and said that these COVID-19 vaccine passports should not be allowed due to the fact that they will enforce a discrimination type. So some people will not be able to do certain activities.
Yeah, some people won't be able to get a
vaccine. But the vaccine itself is not mandatory. And moreover, if 50% of the nation or the whole entire world gets the vaccine, then the world should go back to normal, according to the sciences from a few months back. So why on earth do we need a freaking passport to prove that we have a vaccine?
And this
vaccine is not even mandatory.
I guess they're tripping themselves up. I guess it's one of them ones. It's like their thing will be, you don't have to get it, but it's going to make your life difficult if you don't have it and you don't have that vaccine passport, because there's not going to be a lot that you can do. And they'll make sure that it's going to be a sticky one for you if you don't have it. You know what I mean?
And the worst thing about it is that you're still going to catch COVID-19.
But the idea behind the vaccine wasn't to... The vaccine isn't going to get rid of COVID. Like, COVID isn't going to necessarily go away. It's more to... The reason they need the vaccine is to help with the number of admissions to hospitals and stuff like that. Because if less people are getting sick from it, that to the point that it incapacitates them and they have to go to the hospital, that's less pressure on the NHS. It means more people can do stuff. It just makes life a lot easier for a lot of people.
I'm going to say something that might just be too controversial, yeah, but the NHS has been flopping since 2014.
I hear what you're... And I know what you mean, because...
Hold on. But if you deep it, the reason why the UK voted for Brexit was for what? To save damage.
350 million bus, innit?
So, in my mind, I can understand why they have taken funding away from the NHS, mainly due to the fact that they want other businesses, such as private hospitals, to now come in and at least push for better services, competition, so on and so forth, and even better healthcare, so that other individuals can actually benefit, so that now there's a playing field where at least the NHS loses that pressure when other individuals, other businesses can actually take care of those situations, right?
Mm.
But when you're telling me save the NHS, and you're also telling me, like, and I'm giving you the fact of, okay, 2016, they were trying to save the NHS. They've been trying to save the NHS for a long time.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In my mind, a lot of things are just fact after fact after fact. I'm not telling no rubbish, no bullshit. I'm just giving you facts.
Yeah.
All this time, they've been telling us we need a vaccine because it will help us stop the spread of COVID-19. Science comes out and says, no, it won't. We'll still carry COVID.
I hear what you're saying, but that's
great. Now we have to get a COVID-19 vaccine. We have to get a COVID-19 vaccine to stop the spread of COVID-19, which doesn't stop the spread of COVID-19. But if we don't get it, we have to then have to subject ourselves into limitations of what we can actually get as a human being in the United Kingdom. In other words,
it's not about stopping the spread. The vaccine was never going to do that, because the issue is it was just the way the vaccine works is it will put less pressure on our health services and on society, because it's not going to eradicate the disease, but people can still get it, but they won't get as ill from it. So it might just become like the common cold, basically, you know, it won't be as detrimental as it has been, you know, when it was in that first wave and the second wave, where it was really knocking people out. It won't be, thankfully, hopefully it shouldn't be like that. I think the biggest issue is, you know, I agree, they've taken funding away from the NHS, and then, you know, they've done wonders during this period. But you know, they've made life difficult for them. And then the vaccine passport is a bit of a contradiction because you're saying the vaccine is a mandatory, but then now you want to introduce it. There's going to be a lot of people who just won't be able, who just won't want to get it, you know. But it's that thing that just going to, it's going to make life difficult for people, especially for people who are unsure if they want to get it, X, Y, and Z.
And that's, it's not, it's no slander to like anybody who works in NHS, because it's a bit difficult, like, to obviously talk about NHS, and some people do work in NHS and they're doing everything they can and they see this firsthand. They see everything going on firsthand. But it's just that the information and the statistics show that, firstly, a vaccine is not mandatory. Two, I don't think it's necessary. If 103 million people in the world have caught COVID-19, according to statistics that's given by all the nations collectively together, and only 2.9 million people.
But no, I think the vaccine is necessary because you need to protect the people who are vulnerable to it. So, you know, people who are fall into the categories where, you know, if they get it, it's going to knock them for six. I don't think it would be, it wouldn't be wise to not have the vaccine and then not to use it. That would be an issue, I think, personally. It is necessary. It's just the fact that my issue with the passport is it's just going to make life very difficult for the for people who might not be able to get it for whatever reason. And it's just going to be long. It's just going to make life difficult. And the thing that's going to, I think, will be the most annoying thing is it's going to be in the hands of particular people and businesses who will make the decision, make those decisions. Because it's not like the government's going to regulate it. Just businesses will say, well, you can't come in here if you don't have a vaccine passport.
Exactly. And that's the issue that then becomes a very discriminatory behavior. Like, oh, you haven't got a vaccine? You can't come in. Is it mandatory for us to take it? No. So why do I now have to be subjected to the fact that either I have to have it or I don't have to have it? If I don't have to have it, I don't have to have it. It's not mandatory. It's my free will. It's my choice. And this is facts. I'm not giving no conspiracy theory.
I hear that.
Conspiracy theory, I'll be talking about stuff that really a lot of people will just turn off and just not listen to it. But come on. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, I know. If you've not made it mandatory and then you're now saying everyone has to have the passport, I get it. I do get it. It's one thing after another, and it's a continuous merry-go-round which they just can't seem to make up their mind on or sort out. So it's jarring for sure. But yeah, I guess moving on to the next topic, the final topic for today. A young man by the name of Richard went missing. I can't pronounce his surname, but this story is just a painful one. So his mum's been, the family's been pleading for anyone who's seen anything, you know, to come forward and help. But it's just painful because the mum went to the police, you know, said my child is missing. And then their response was, if you can't find him, how will we? And, you know, obviously as Black people, we already have a tough relationship with the police, but for them, for you to go to them and say, look, I need your help with this, and for them to say that to you, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, man, this whole situation is really sad. I feel for the family. I also feel for him because it seems like, I don't know, I feel like there's just like a big gap in information that's been missing. Because he went missing on the 22nd, I think, or 23rd. And then there was reports maybe the beginning or middle of this week where he was last seen in Essex. So yeah. I don't know how, you know, living in the most CCTV populated city in the world that they can't track his movement from that week to this week. So something doesn't add up to me personally. But yeah, I just hope he's safe. I hope he's found safe, and I hope it turns out well, because you know how these things go, man.
Yeah, and it's painful because obviously I think he's just had the reports are that he's also just had a bit of a tough time. Wasn't coping well with uni, and I think everyone, you know, isn't, some people's mental health hasn't, you know, more or less survived the pandemic. So I think he was also in that spot as well. when he was reported missing. So it's just concerning. And there's a lot of people who I'm sure might be in the same boat as well. But it's that thing of this is the most populated, or not most populated, but the CCTV is heavy in this country. And it just kind of feels that when you hear stuff like that, it's like they don't care. How can you say that? And then just, you basically said you don't care about that life, essentially, to me.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that he has a sickle cell anemia. So the fact that he was missing around this time, parents were very worried. Yeah, man.
It does just make you feel for the family, especially for his mum, man, because that, you know, she's done a lot of TV appearances, and it's painful to watch, honestly, just how upset she is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's painful
to see. Because it's just one of those ones. You just have to hope that he comes home safely. And just hopefully, you know, I hope now that the police are taking his case more seriously. I just hope that we don't see something like this again.
Yeah, man. It's just, I feel like there's always going to be something like this, unfortunately. Like, it's just one of those things. Even with the Sarah Everard thing that happened recently, you know, these abductions or people going missing unfortunately happen a lot. So it would just be nice if there was a situation whereby it doesn't end the way we, you know, fear it to end, you know?
So. Yeah, that's the most important thing. We're just hoping for the best.
Go on, man. If I'm to talk about like what's been reported about the police, like years up until now, is that the police have been heavily underfunded, and then that's why they've just done a mass recruiting. From 2018 up until 2020, they've done like a mass recruiting to get rid of a lot of noise, and the fact that, yeah, we are putting police on the streets, we are making sure that things are going right. Now, with the Sarah Everard situation, it's like, I don't know how long that person has been a policeman, but someone should have checked up on his history, someone should have checked up on his psyche. Now, with this situation, for a police individual to turn around, I don't know if it was a policeman or a policewoman, but to turn around and say, if you can't find him, well, how do you think we're going to find him? I think the police is highly underfunded, and when it comes to these situations about children going missing, people going missing, I don't think they have the facilities to actually do that. So then now that this is blown up in their face, they have to now go and find him.
I hear that, but my thing is,
and then even with the situation with the, I've forgotten her name, the one, there was a black woman who had died, close to the seaside, and she was talking to her boyfriend. The next thing, a couple hours later, they find her meters away from her phone, and the police.
And they said that really, was just they didn't look into it really.
They didn't look into it.
And it just looks like they say our lives
don't have the funding and they don't have the facilities to do so. So I think,
but I don't know. Nah,
it's coming back to the government. No, hold on. It's coming back to the government of like, what is going on? You guys are reducing a lot of funding to actually help the police to make sure that the police do a better job in finding out, solving situations fairly quickly and effectively. And I think that's what needs to be exercised in terms of what the government needs to do for the police. In this situation currently in the moment, I just pray that the police, they find him, and I pray that the son goes back to the family alive and well. Because, you know, around that week, it was fairly cold, and then, you know, if somebody's suffering from sickle cell anemia, I don't suffer that from that disease, but as far as I know what the disease is, your blood cells, they change shape, and it could be very painful, and you can die fairly easily. So, you know, I think
for me, it's just painful because it just comes off as if they're saying they don't care, and that's all it is really. That's what's the most painful thing about it. You know, his mum made it very clear what the situation was to them, and they didn't do anything. It just looks like they don't care, which is frustrating. So I hope to see less of this going forward. And we just have to remain faithful that he will come home.
Yeah, man. Prayers up to the family and to everybody affected by it.
Yeah.
If anybody knows anything, just reach out to the proper authorities. Yeah.
That's a fact. All right. So
happy Easter. Oh. Happy Easter, guys. Like, enjoy your Easter and that. Well, of course, this episode is going to come out the day after Easter, but you know, I hope you guys have had a great Easter. You know what I'm saying?
That's the
fact. You guys done anything?
Nah, man. Nothing.
Not yet.
Wow.
Might get turned.
No work tomorrow, innit?
Yeah.
The hangover might be hanging.
That's a fact.
All right, but do you know what time it is? Music suggestions. I'll kick things off. I'm gonna give it to Russ and Tion Wayne with Body. The song is silly, but I'll be lying if I said it wasn't infectious. I know the running joke is, I'm sure no one over the age of 18 is listening to this song, but God damn it, I enjoy it.
Cool. Mine is my recommendation is a song called Curious by Van Jess, Jimmy Tense, and Garen. It's a good song. The EP is quite good. Listen to it over the weekend. Got good vibes. Those women are talented. And I like the vibe of the song. So, Curious by Van Jess.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Paul Stephan quite some time now. But he switched up the vibe and he's come out with a new track, which is Giri Bass. Spelled GBAS. Paul Stephan and Quincy OG. Go and check it out. It's a pretty cool song.
Love that. All right. So, Maiden Chafford episode 81 in the books. Until next time, people, take care.
Peace.